الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا، إنه هو السميع البصير. وآتينا موسى الكتاب وجعلناه هدى لبني إسرائيل ألا تتخذوا من دوني وكيلا. ذرية من حملنا مع نوح، إنه كان عبدا شكورا. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us once again with being here today. And before we talk a little about the Mi'raj, because once a person starts talking about the Mi'raj, we know inshallah very close now will be inshallah also the month of Ramadan. And at the same time, we have also been blessed, alhamdulillah, with a group of people that are from, I believe, Saudi Arabia. They are part of the delegation. May Allah bless them, the brother who gave the beautiful adhan, and as well as you see a few different faces over here. May Allah bless them for coming. So it's amazing that how we have a people from that land today, mashallah, over here, number one. And also at the same time, we are talking about the Mi'raj, which is also linked to that given land itself. And this is a very, very important thing. And in fact, when you study the Mi'raj, it's not only about the land itself that we are talking about that is pure, but it goes all the way, alhamdulillah, to the Bayt al-Maqdis. And last week we made a very beautiful point that comes in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As far as visiting is concerned, traveling is concerned, traveling must be done to preferably is the key word here, to three places. Inshallah, for the to Makkah al-Mukarramah, to Madinah al-Munawwarah, to visit the grave of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the third travel should be done to Bayt al-Maqdis. In fact, it comes in one of the hadiths of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if you can send money for oil, that means just to light the Masjid al-Aqsa, try to support them if you can do it. These things are part of our iman, and these things. By the way, the mic is a little too loud, so if you can either turn it down or. Because it's like I'm screaming and I'm not screaming, the mic is just very, you can go that way, okay. So therefore, alhamdulillah, we are blessed with the people from that part of the world here today. And let us talk a little about the Mi'raj. Now, when did the Mi'raj come about? What is the significance of the Mi'raj? My brothers and sisters in Islam, one thing is very, very important. As far as this world is concerned, struggles never stop and struggles will never stop. From the day you are born till the day you die, there'll always be a struggle. And the struggle, for example, when you are born is, first comes, you come into this world, there is a little bit of a noise that you make. Then comes the struggle of, you don't know when you messed yourself, somebody has to clean you. You don't know whether you want to eat now, or whether you are crying because you want to eat, or you're crying because you want to sleep, or you're crying because there is a noise. So there is a struggle that starts when you are young. And the struggle continues. You start to walk. As you walk, you fall down. Somebody has to carry you. They have to make you walk thereafter. This challenge continues. Then you go to school. When you go to school, is a new struggle. The struggle is now, my friends. Must I buy a fidget spinner or must I not buy a fidget spinner? Must I buy a bicycle or must I not buy a bicycle? My friend got a new bicycle. Why do I have an old bicycle? This struggle continues. And thereafter comes the college years. In the college years is a new struggle that starts. Must I marry the person that my parents have in mind for me, or must I marry this girl that I'm seeing right here? Must I marry within my culture, or must I marry out of the culture? Nowadays, boys are very, very good. You tell the boy, but why you want to marry that girl over there? You don't even know her. Sheikh, I want to marry her because I want to give da'wah. MashaAllah. You don't perform your salah. You don't go to the masjid. You don't give your zakah. You don't go for hajj. You don't give sadaqah. You don't do anything good. But MashaAllah, you want to marry her to give da'wah. How can you give da'wah when you don't even know your own religion itself? You don't even know what is right. You don't know what is wrong. You don't know what is halal. You don't know what is haram. I want to give da'wah, Sheikh. Who is giving da'wah? Are you giving da'wah to her or she's giving da'wah to you? And these are the questions we have to ask ourselves. So the struggle does not change. Nowadays our young boys, mashallah, may Allah protect them. There is a new struggle of opioids. I didn't even know what opioids was until 2 weeks ago I went to a conference. Opioids are the usage of all these drugs. All these chemical drugs that they are putting together. Young boys may know about it more than I. And why are we using these drugs? Why are the young boys, this is the first question, why are the young boys using these drugs? That's the first question. And the second question is, what are these drugs doing to the youth? Now the first thing is, we are using, according to the various researches out there, we are a generation that wants to be very happy. And we are this generation where we want to protect our children. We want to protect them so much that nowadays a mother will say, it is better my child plays video games at home than go outside. They are young boys, our generation, those that are older, we used to open the door, go outside, play with the bicycle, have a good time, get a few scratches, fall down from the bicycle, crush the roller skate, no problem, you get hurt. You know, they put some band-aid and you come back right and you move on. And nowadays it has changed. My child goes outside, my child going to get hit by a bus, going to get hit by a car. If my child goes outside, then who's going to talk to them? My child goes outside, they may meet the wrong person. All these fears, and we want to protect them, which is wonderful, mashallah. So we protect them so much that we don't want them to experience what is out there in a good way. And worst of all, by the way, I'm not saying don't protect your child, but at the same time, while we are wanting to protect them, we have to take out now the time to take them outside. So do you now take them to the parks? Do you take them to the various areas where other children are also going, but in a way that is more valid, in a way that is more accepted? So we are not doing that. We want to protect them, but we don't want to do the other thing by taking them out. Now that takes us to a very important point. So these children now want to have a good time. That's their nature. So they want to use now all these chemical drugs that are out there. And when they don't get their way by not using it, then they are suffering from depression. That is why in colleges, we are seeing something very, very unique in college. The highest rate, this is a statistic, this is a fact. The highest rate of depression is taking place in college age students, and as a result of this depression that is taking place, universities are saying that right now in our history, there are more people that are taking off from college than ever before. Imagine, you are 18 years old, you are supposed to go to college, you are supposed to study, and you are doing what instead? You go there and you get so depressed because now you have left the home environment, now you got to study, you are accountable for yourself. If you don't do your homework, you fail the class. No one will say, you must do this, you must do that. You don't pass the exams, you fail, you have to drop out, whatever. And this is causing now a massive depression. And the researchers are saying, the greatest or the highest rate of students taking off from college is in our history right now. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, how do we protect our children and how do we protect our environment? And one way, of course, is by asking ourselves, what is expected of us from our religion? That's the first question. What is expected of us from our religion? And we learn from our hadith. We learn from our Quran. What do we learn? Struggle does not end. Struggle starts from the time you are born and it will continue right till the moment that the angel of death comes to you. Till that point, The struggle is real and the struggle is inevitable and the struggle will be something that you will face at all times. In fact, you study, right now we have some guests over here, mashallah, they're from Saudi Arabia. And everyone says, mashallah, Saudi Arabia is so successful and they are so this and they are so that and all this. And this is great. But you go and study the realities over there. They have a high level, and this is based on global statistics. They have a high level of, for example, illiteracy. How can you have high level of illiteracy when you have billions and billions of dollars? Does it make sense? And the surah Iqra was revealed where? In that country where Allah says, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaqa al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akramu alladhi allama bil qalam, allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. The greatest knowledge that humanity has ever received at one point was this given ayah. What is it telling you? It is telling you, number one, learn the art of reading. Learn, which is linked to the art of writing. Learn the art of communication. They talk of communication nowadays, absolutely nothing. And also it is saying a very important thing, that Allah has created us from a clot of blood. From a clot of blood, mashallah, somebody's entertaining us. So Allah has created us from a clot of blood all the way. SubhanAllah, I don't know who's louder, myself for that. So, and Allah has created us from a clot of blood all the way to the rank of a human. This is what Allah is teaching us. Now you have an ayah that is to create knowledge, understanding, and help us go into the future. Yet, in that given land, there are struggles. The struggles is illiteracy. The struggles is regarding divorce rate. The struggle is regarding women that cannot find spouses. Look at the statistics out there. So on the one hand, you see success. On the other hand, you see challenge. So we all think in our life that when Allah gives you money, that's it. You are resolved with your problems. And we are learning from this given example. Money, it can come to you as much as Allah wishes to give. But it does not mean you will not have a challenge. The other day, myself and Brother Ghassan were talking. We were talking about Kuwait. In Kuwait, the level of obesity is going through the roof. Number one. The amount of health problems that they're having is going through the roof. In fact, when you go to any restaurant in America, what do you see? You see them giving you a menu, and on the menu they give you something very important. They write down how many calories. That means how fat you're going to get after you eat this. But in Kuwait, they don't have that. In Kuwait, they tell you, eat, 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 and they don't put the calories down. Why don't they put the calories down? Because they don't want to create an awareness, not the country itself, foreign investors that are bringing money to the country, they don't want to create that awareness. The awareness of, if you eat this, you'll be gaining so much weight. If you eat this, you'll be having a certain problem with your stomach and your health, etc., etc. So what I'm saying here is, based on the ayah that we are reading here, struggle continues for everyone. Whether you are wealthy, whether you are educated, whether you are poor, whether you are short, whether you are tall, whether you are skinny, whether you are overweight, whether you are white, whether you are black, the struggle is real. Once we realize this given aspect, we learn something very important. How can we become successful as a people? Number one rule, Rasulullah said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. The best of people is the one that can become of benefit to other people. I repeat, the best of humanity, the best of men, the best of women, the best of boys, and the best of girls is the one that becomes a benefit to humanity. And Muslims have a very bad habit. You know, sometimes, for example, like you'll see a lot of people walking out, mashallah, you'll see a lot more people here, and somebody will tramp on your toes as you walk out. And this brother will say, it's okay, it's okay, you tramp, it's okay. And thereafter, he goes, delete, delete, delete. May Allah destroy you, in his mind he says. This is how humans are. And this is our nature. That we have this attitude that we are nice to people in front of them, but if they don't give us the maximum benefit we want, that's it. We smile, then how we delete our phone, we delete everything, and we bring out the real evil feeling from our heart, and we curse that person. And Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, don't become amongst these people. That whatever someone does to you, learn the art of putting it behind you. We learn this in the beautiful hadith. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is walking. Every day he walks in a certain place. The woman throws garbage on him. The woman throws garbage on him. The woman throws garbage on him. Repeatedly. One day she stops. And Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, where's my friend? Where's my friend? Where's this woman? How come today there was no dirt thrown on me? And what do we learn? And we learn something very important. He told him, Ya Rasulallah, this woman is very ill. She's not feeling very good. And what does he do? He goes and he visits her. He goes and he visits a woman that used to throw garbage on him. This is what you call khayrun nas anfa'un nas. He creates benefit for her. This is what you do when it comes to creating change in people's minds, that we don't do evil to the one that has done evil to us. It doesn't mean we don't be careful ourselves or take care in abstaining from being in a negative situation with them, but we have to take that precaution, but by being a benefit to them thereafter. Another very important thing we learn from our beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam regarding the Mi'raj, which we spoke about in the beginning. What was it all about? Why did it take place? What was the benefit to humanity? And we'll talk about it just for the next few minutes alone. Number one, Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, as you know, as he was going from Makkah to Baytul Maqdis, he met, of course, as you know, certain prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a miracle for him. Thereafter, from there, we know he went to the various heavens. He met the various prophets. And as he was going to the various heavens, they won't just accept him just like that. Jibreel salam was asked, who is this man you are with? He is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the guest of Allah. Allah wants to meet him. This is the man that we are being followers of. We get excited with a space shuttle going up, but we don't get excited and happy knowing that this is the Mi'raj. We get happy with a space shuttle going up and we say, MashaAllah, how great America is. But at the same time, Allah is saying, forget America, forget Russia, forget Europe, forget anything. You are prophet from the desert. You are a prophet from a state in which there was no such thing as a fancy car or whatnot. Takes us way beyond. And the idea of going way beyond was not to show how great we are to go to the moon and beyond the moon. It was to bring knowledge for our existence. What do we learn from the whole Mi'raj? One is he met Adam alayhi salam, he met Isa alayhi salam, he met Yahya alayhi salam, he had Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam started crying. Why are you crying, Musa alayhi salam? What's making you cry? This man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam came after me, but he will go with his people to Jannah with a greater crowd and a larger crowd before me. This is the beauty that Allah has given us. And what else do we learn from the Mi'raj? Just to bring conclusion and make it short for you, mashallah. What else do we learn? We learned how he saved humanity. He was given a choice, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, between wine and milk. You know, they have big adverts out there, got milk. You saw those adverts, got milk. Even we learn the importance of milk. Got milk, don't have milk. It can be a problem, especially if you have young ones. What they say, milk and cookies. It's an amazing feeling. I know some of the young boys are smiling, mashallah, and the older ones can start smiling too, because we know milk and cookies, how nice it is. Anyway, suffice to say, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given a choice between wine and milk. And today we are choosing wine over milk. When we are choosing wine over milk, what is the expense this is creating for society? It's creating a drainage in our medical sector. Ask any doctor which night he hates working most. And the chances are great, he will say, especially emergency room doctors, during the holiday season and during the weekends.
Imagine a doctor saying, I just dread those 3 days, or Friday and Saturday and holidays, those three times. Why? Again, it comes back to the question of wine versus milk, alcohol versus milk. It is ruining the medical sector in as far as finances are concerned. It's ruining relationships. It's taking people drunk to work when they have hangovers. It affects the employment sector. It sort of affects employer and employee relationships. It creates problems between children and parents. Imagine my father coming drunk every so often after work. And Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam chose between milk and alcohol, and he chose milk over the alcohol. When he chose that, what did Jibreel Alayhi Salaam say? He says, you saved your ummah. What does saving an ummah mean? He saved us from ruin. He saved us from collapse. He saved us from a lack of dignity. And as believers, what do we say? This is the lifestyle we should go towards, because you only live once. So we have to reflect upon the impact of the Mi'raj and what it had. Rasulullah ﷺ also, we learn in the last minute, something very, very important. He saw more women in hell than men. Now when we say this in a Western context, see, Muslims don't like women, they throw them in hell. No, 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 that was not what it was all about. The reason why he saw more women in hell, when he inquired, he says, because they are individuals that are not grateful to what Allah has given them. So therefore, like for example, and many of us are familiar, and women themselves will say, they'll get a beautiful gift. They'll get a beautiful gift, and what she'll say later on, but so and so got it a little better. So and so went to Hawaii for 2 weeks. I wish we went for 2 weeks instead of one. Now what are you going to see in one extra week in that place? I don't know, but that's how they talk. So Rasulullah is saying, don't become like that. He's giving us advice. Don't become such where you are not grateful to what your Allah has given you, to what your family has given you. Also, we learn something else from the Quran. لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء إلى آخر الآية. We're learning something. Don't scoff one another. Don't laugh at one another. Do not jeer one another. Do not make fun of one another. Just because someone doesn't have a good house as you, doesn't give you a right to laugh at them. Someone doesn't live in a great country like yours, doesn't give you a right to mock them. Someone doesn't get, or their children are not able to get into a wonderful program like your child, doesn't give you a right to mock others. Someone cannot afford brand new clothing and you can afford it, it does not give you a right over them. Because Allah in the Quran says, when you do this, perhaps you may think you are better than them, but in reality, Allah knows who is better. So inshallah, these are the things that we should remember as we are now getting for the month, ready for the month of Ramadan. Let's start increasing our tilawah of the Quran. Let's start increasing our salah. MashaAllah, we have a wonderful project the young ones are part of, where we go and help the homeless. I know I go on a different day. I go on Thursdays generally, but that's my separate group that I go with, etc. But there is an official group with the masjid that is going every Saturday or every second Saturday. Try to meet Dr. Salman Saab. Also Brother Yusuf, he makes announcements, you know who he is. Speak to him and ask him how you can join. Because the idea of the month of Ramadan is not just to stay away from food. It's about helping others and helping ourselves to connect with one with Allah, to realize what hunger is all about. So the best time you can learn the value of hunger is by working on these projects where you can go and feed the youth, inshallah. So every second Saturday, I believe they are going. When is the next one? Tomorrow, inshallah, what time? 10 a.m.? 9 a.m.? 8 a.m.? Okay, 9 a.m. Those of you that want to join, can they come? Open invitation, inshallah. 9 a.m. try to be here. It takes 3-4 hours. Maybe go with your own car if you need to go, have another appointment. By all means, go for it. But tomorrow, try to be here, inshallah, at 9 a.m. to help out in as far as sharing food with the less fortunate. Also, we have food that we give out every Friday over here to those that are less fortunate. By all means, you can take. If you know others that are less fortunate, try to invite them to also come and gain benefit from that. So start helping the poor from now. Start getting your zakah ready for the poor. Start reducing the amount of wrong that we are doing. Start watching less television, less social media. Reduce our interaction time with people and increase our interaction time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This way, when the month of Ramadan comes, we will be ready for it and we'll be able to take maximum benefit, inshallah.